Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Our scripture reading today is from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 27, verses 1 through 11. Then the daughters of Zelophehad had come forward. Zelophehad was the son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, of the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of his daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders and all the congregation at the entrance to the tent of meetings, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the congregation of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the congregation of Korah, but died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers, and pass the inheritance of their father on to them. You shall also speak to the Israelites, saying, 'If a man dies and has no son, then you shall pass his inheritance on to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest clansman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. How are you this morning? Good to see you. Good to be back with you. I rarely get to visit a church two times in a row, so this is a gift for me. Before I start on the sermon about the daughters of Zelophehad, I wanted to address something that two people from this church have asked me about since last Sunday, and that's the word fear, fearing God. Two people came up to me and said, "I don't like that." So I thought I would tell you that the Hebrew word used in that passage is yirah, and it's often translated as fear, but it primarily means profound awe, reverence, and respect. Comes from the root Hebrew word, the root word yar, which means to stand in holy wonder in the presence of something far greater than yourself. Does that help? Good. All right. A place among the people of God. There are certain stories in Scripture that become like old friends. We hear them so often that we know how they end before they begin. David and Goliath, Ruth and Naomi, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son. Well, then there are stories that we're not as familiar with, not because they matter less, but because we haven't told them as much. Today's passage is one of those stories. It's only 11 verses long. It's tucked into the middle of the book of Numbers. That's a book I usually skip on my way to some other place in Scripture. And yet, hidden there is one of the most remarkable stories in all of Scripture. Five women, five sisters, five names that deserve to be remembered. Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. I hope that by the time we leave today, they won't feel like strangers anymore. Because every church needs to know who they are, not simply because they were women, but because they have something important to teach us about courage, faithfulness, and what it means to make room for one another among the people of God. To fully appreciate what these five sisters do, we need to understand the world that they lived in. The book of Numbers tells the story of Israel in the wilderness as they get ready to enter the promised land. The book is filled with censuses. How exciting! Tribal lists, laws, and preparations for the future. Twice in the book, two times, more than 600,000 men are counted, tribe by tribe. And the reason the numbering is so important is because the land will soon be divided according to those family lines. It's a world where inheritance passes from father to son, where family identity is tied to land, and where women rarely appear at the center of any story. Which is exactly why what happens next is so remarkable. Right in the middle of all those names and numbers, Scripture pauses to tell us the names of five women: Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Not only are they named, they're given a voice. Their father, Zelophehad, has died during Israel's wilderness journey. He leaves no sons, only these five daughters, which in their world means something more than just grief. The law as it stood said that the inheritance of land had to pass through the sons of the family. And when we say land, we don't just mean dirt. We don't just mean property. Land was identity. It was belonging. It was the security of a future. And without it, their father's name disappears. He's completely erased. There are no provisions for these five women, and their place among the people of God becomes uncertain. So these five women, Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, they do something remarkable. Together, they step forward. Now, I don't have any sisters, but when I got married, I got three older sisters overnight, and I've always been the oldest sister, telling my younger brothers what to do. And all of a sudden, I had three older sisters telling me what to do. And if they're watching, I love you very much. But these five sisters set aside whatever differences they had. They stepped forward together, not in secret, not in the margins, but right into the center of the community, right up to the tent of meeting. They stand before Moses, before the leaders, before the whole assembly, and they speak together. Our father died. Why should the name of our father disappear from his clan just because he had no sons? Give us property along with the rest of our relatives. What are they asking for? They're not asking for power. They're asking not to be forgotten. They're asking for a place among the people of God. And what strikes me about this story is how they do it. They don't walk away from the tradition of their people. They don't ask someone else to do it for them. They don't reject their community. They stay. And they speak. And they trust that there's room somewhere within this tradition that's been handed down from generation to generation, from tribe to tribe. There's room to tell the truth of their own lives. And beloved ones, that is a holy kind of boldness. The kind that says, I believe in this story enough to ask if there's room for me too. And then something just as remarkable happens. Moses listens. He doesn't shut them down. He doesn't dismiss them or defend the way things have always been done. He takes their question seriously and brings it before God. And when God hears what they're asking, God says, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. Did you hear that? They are right. Can we sit with that for a moment? Because what follows is not the unraveling of the community. Nobody's ears fall off. Lightning doesn't rain down. There's no earthquake. But there's a deepening of the story. The law is expanded. The circle is drawn wider. Space is made. Minds are challenged and changed. A provision is written not just for these five daughters, but for the daughters in all of the generations to come. And maybe what we're seeing here isn't something entirely new. Maybe it only feels new because of the ways this story has been told and retold and over time narrowed. Too often this story has been reduced to a lesson about inheritance law, or we've treated it as a story about compassion for grieving daughters, or an isolated moment of men making a decision, making an exception for women in unusual circumstances. But that's not what the text itself emphasizes. This story is about justice. It's a part of the larger story God's been telling throughout all of Scripture. It is the story of five faithful theologians who know God's covenant well enough to recognize when their community has failed to reflect it. It's a story about the character of God, about what faithful advocacy looks like, and about the importance of letting God's promises shape God's people more than preserving tradition. Right here in Numbers, before anyone can explain them away, before anyone can shrink their boldness, soften their claim, or dismiss their witness, these daughters stand before the leaders of Israel and speak. And God says they're right. They're right. Not tolerated. I'm tired of being tolerated. Not accommodated. They're right. Which makes me wonder, maybe they weren't reaching outside the story at all. Maybe they were uncovering something that had been there from the beginning. Something waiting to be named. Something that had been considered, that had not been considered before. Something meant to broaden minds, not break spirits. And if we're honest, if we're really honest, that's the part that unsettles us a little bit, isn't it? Because we were taught in ways both subtle and not so subtle that we need to be cautious of moments like this. Moments when something new is presented. When a voice we're not used to hearing speaks with clarity. When a question rises that doesn't come with an easy answer. When something we've always believed to be the truth is challenged. We worry it's going to undo everything. It'll make us change our minds. We'll have to take back what we said in the past. We might have to say I was wrong. But this story suggests something else. That sometimes faithfulness is not found in holding everything exactly as it has been, but in trusting God enough to listen, to think for ourselves, and to make room for something new. And maybe that's where this story meets us today. Because if we're honest, most of us can find ourselves somewhere in it, right? Some of us feel like the daughters, trying to find words for something that matters deeply, hoping there's a space to be heard, just hoping to be heard and believed. And some of us feel like Moses. We hold this responsibility, trying to be faithful, keeping the tradition, unsure what to do with the questions in front of us that we don't have an answer for. And some of us feel like the greater community, watching it all unfold, wondering what this might be for the future that we envisioned, for the church that we love. Maybe the good news is this: there's room for all of us. There's room for wanting to be heard. There's room for attending to tradition, as well as grappling with the difficult questions and answers. There's room for loving the church and seeing it for what it is, for what it isn't, and for what it can be. I keep thinking about Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah and Tirzah coming forward to the tent of meeting. How much courage it must have taken them. How much faith. To believe that speaking would not, in fact, push them outside of the story, but it actually might reveal that the story is bigger than any of them had ever imagined. And I think about the generations that came after them, the women who would live inside the space that their bravery created that day.
Space they did not have to fight for because someone else had already spoken up. Baptist history is full of women whose courage became someone else's inheritance. Addie Davis could not have known when she knelt for ordination in 1964 at Watt Street Baptist Church how many women would one day preach because she had remained faithful to her calling. She wasn't fighting to be famous. She was making room, just like Mala and Noah, Hogla, Milka, and Tirsa. She simply loved God's people enough to stay in the conversation, and generations after her, including Annabeth and myself, have been able to live inside the space her faithfulness helped to create. I wonder what happened after that day, after the sisters came to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Did they realize that generations of daughters would benefit from their courage that day? Did they know their names would still be spoken thousands of years later? Probably not. They simply saw an injustice, loved their community enough to speak the truth, and trusted God enough to believe that there might be room for something new, something better. That's why I hope we remember them, not because they won an argument or overturned tradition, but because they trusted God's story enough to stay. They trusted God enough to remain. And God said, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. So perhaps that's the invitation for us today. Not to have an answer for every difficult question. Not to agree on every issue. But to become the kind of people who are curious. The kind of people who listen to each other. The kind of people that make space for one another. Who are humble enough to believe God may still have something to teach us. Who love one another enough to stay at the table when the conversation becomes difficult. Who trust that faithfulness is not measured by how tightly we cling to what is familiar, but how faithfully we follow wherever God leads. And maybe, just maybe, the next time someone mentions Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milka, or Tirsa, you'll smile. Because you'll remember these five sisters who refused to believe that anyone should be forgotten among God's people. You'll remember five women who loved their community enough to speak up and to speak out. Five women who trusted enough to ask, trusted God enough to ask. A God who listened, a God who made room. A God who is still making room among the people of God. May we be people who stay at that table. Amen.